It is really, I know I feel like I've been saying this a lot the last few days, but it is a beautiful day in Chicago. It's summer. There are boats on the lake. There are people bringing, I have a lot of boats coming back in for the night on the river. We can see right out the Skyline Studios, the Allstate Skyline Studio windows. I went to the beach today, and I have to say, if you haven't had the chance to get down, have you been to the beach yet this summer?
I have been to the beach, but just for covering stories for Channel 9. I haven't, like,
go stick your feet in the sand, Andrea.
Yeah, I know. Which beach did you go to?
We went to Montrose, and that's why I was telling them that there is this huge inlet almost of water walk through to get to the shore that I'm not entirely sure there must be a way they can take care of it. It's just it's like warm standing water that's got to be filled now with seagull droppings and kids. There are a lot of people swimming kind of, because in some places it's thigh deep, I would say, for me. So that's pretty deep water.
So this is before you get to the sand, before you get to the water even.
Well, there's some sand, then there's this like inlet.
Wow.
It had to have flooded, and maybe they weren't able to build that part of the beach up with sand. Because if you notice, at North Avenue Beach, there's pylons. You ever see those metal things sticking out of the wall? That is a sheet metal wall that runs the length of North Avenue Beach, which helps preserve the shoreline.
Right.
So I'm guessing in a lot of other places there, they have a lot of erosion depending on the water levels of the lake. But it looks as though this flooded, and when the water receded, it left this pocket where this inlet, this really standing water, it's nasty. And it's right next to the dog park. Do you know where the dog park is?
Yes.
Now, do you have a dog? I think I've asked you before.
I don't currently have a dog. I have in the past, but I don't have one now.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is I don't know how much of that water is also being shared by the dogs that are playing over by the dog park, too. So if you've got dogs that are, you know, relieving themselves, and sometimes when you have babies, it's water that's not being filtered. It's water that's not being removed. And I was concerned.
I wonder if the park district even knows it. They have to know about it, right?
I should probably call somebody. Michael, call the park district for me and leave a message, will you please? I think you can call 311. Hey, Patty was noticing something really gross.
I bet you could call 311 for something like this.
Probably. That's it's a huge. Deal. It's the entire length of the beach, pretty much. You have to walk either to the dog park to get around it, or you have to walk all the way south to try to get around that way.
Okay, now.
Where their sailboats are, the end of the beach.
31st Street Beach and 39th Street Beach. When I lived south, I would bike down there all the time. And they used to have a very similar problem years ago, and they've just redone that whole 31st Street Beach area.
Right.
And now there's a little restaurant now there. It's very
great?
Similar. Yeah, it's very similar to North Avenue Beach.
Yes.
And they have spin classes, and they have a whole area now for jet skis and paddle boats, just like they do at North Avenue. So they had to do a lot of changes because of a lot of the standing water.
You got to fill that in. And actually, I don't know if we haven't talked about this. Where I used to work, I was a guard at North Avenue Beach for many years, many years ago. They rebuilt that boathouse. They originally had been built in the 1930s, and it was they tore it down to make that restaurant.
Is it Castaways?
Castaways is on the roof, right?
Right, right.
Well, apparently. Phil Stefani, is that his name, the restaurant owner?
Yeah.
I believe he owns most of that property. He is having that renovated again. They're planning on putting a pool at North Avenue Beach.
Like a swimming pool.
Isn't that weird?
Yes, that's what they have down at the 31st.
Do you like it?
It's either 31st or 39th Street Beach. It was so cool because,
you like that? Okay.
You know, you'd go to the pool as a kid,
right?
Like your community pool. That's what it's like, only it's like parking lot, bike path, pool,
then beach,
sand, and then beach.
I don't know.
So it's really cool. The kids love going back and forth between the pool and the
That's gotta be so hard to keep that pool clean though if it's just covered in sand.
There's showers. So when you go in, you have to shower off and
then
go in the pool. Yeah.
Otherwise it seems like a mess. But that's what they're planning to do at North Avenue Beach as well. So Montrose, I'm guessing because it's so far north, you know, how far out of the city so 31st isn't too far from McCormick Place, is it?
It's a little bit further down. So McCormick is about 18th.
Okay, so it's still kind of a pretty condensed, highly populated area of the city.
22nd.
And North Avenue obviously draws a lot of people. I wonder if Montrose just doesn't have that kind of love to maintain that beach as well.
Boy, I don't know, because Montrose is...
It's busy.
It's busy.
It's super
nice,
busy.
And they got the soccer fields there.
Yes. Oh, it's so gorgeous.
So yeah, they got a lot going on up there.
There was plenty of room for everybody today. I know people were working because we have a different shift. I guess it's not nice of me to rub it in people's faces that I could spend the afternoon at the beach. But
they could have dinner.
They go enjoy the lakefront. Get down here. Not to our studios. This could be a whole issue with security. Speaking of getting down here, you and I had a very bizarre ordeal because we needed to be here at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
And I was misunderstanding the time. That was totally on me this time, because you would put 6 p.m. You definitely said 6 p.m. in the text.
And I thought, oh my gosh, because there was another time where we were going back and forth at different times. And I thought, oh God, I hope I didn't write the wrong text.
You did. It was absolutely 6.
Yeah.
But something else had, you know, I got bounced. I'm like the dog and squirrel. Squirrel! A dog and up.
Yeah.
And I got, anyway, I was convinced it was 6:30. I'm sitting in traffic and you're like, hey, I'll be there, you know, 5 to 6. I'm like, oh, that's plenty of time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I said, I'll be there a little after 6. And then you and Michael were silent. You and Michael didn't text me back. I'm like,
uh-oh.
Nobody said anything. I'm like, we have our guests at 6:30, right? And you guys are like, no.
No, scroll up.
I cannot believe. So I'm on the Kennedy and I see this little yellow car like zip in and out. And I'm like, I think Andrea has a yellow car. And then I pull up behind you and I see the plates. I'm like, that's Andrea Darlis.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, at least I'll get there when Andrea gets there.
I know. And that was so funny. And I see somebody, you were, this was horrible traffic today.
It
was,
oh my gosh.
66 minutes in from where we are. And I hear beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, hi. And so I just kind of waved. I'm like, oh, someone's waving at me. And I went, it's Patty. So I'm on the phone with my mom. And I went, oh, my God, it's Patty.
Yes.
She's behind me.
And then I rolled my window down. Don't tell anybody how I drive.
You were so funny.
I was like, I'm going to get off at this exit and get back on. Oh, there's a state trooper. I am now stuck at a red light.
And we got here the exact same time.
You were nice enough to wait a couple of minutes while I changed. Okay, everybody, don't judge. Well, go ahead and judge. That's what we do on my show. I judge. Judge me. I was wearing beach clothes, Andrea.
Oh, yeah, because you're coming from the beach.
And I thought our guest was in studio, so I was like, I can't show up. I've got this ratty T-shirt and beach shorts on. I look all California. I look Chicago in the summer. So I changed at a red light right on Wacker.
I've done it. Hey, you know what? It has to be done.
I didn't even look around. It wasn't even a moment of anybody say no. This is going to have to happen right now at a red light.
I'm glad you just told that story because it completely takes away from the fact that we were all texting each other.
Oh, shush. Shut. I do voice to text if that helps anybody.
Oh, me too.
And I do me voice too. To read. No, I don't do that.
Me too.
Very bad person. Well, let's be better people. No more texting.
And no more changing.
In a red light.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see. I don't think I've ever done that in traffic.
In your defense, you weren't driving.
I wasn't driving.
You were parked.
I put the car in park. Just happened to be in the flow of traffic. Right. We are going to check in with our good friend, Dr. Kathy Tynes, when we come back. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. Oh, if you have questions for Dr. Kathy, this is a great time to give us a call. 312-981-7200. Give us a call if you have any questions about your health. She's a great person to sort of bounce ideas off of. Maybe she can point you in the right direction. She's incredibly helpful. We'll be talking to her in just a moment. Again, it's Wellness Wednesday. More in a moment on 720 WGN. One of the things I know many listeners have become accustomed to in the last few weeks are the... I'm going to go ahead and pull the curtain back, Andrea, on what it's like to try to get our guests up here, especially for our show.
Yes.
Because there's nobody on the 7th floor, the 18th floor anymore. I mean, after about 5 o'clock, there are less people walking around.
Right.
So if our guests are in the hallway... we can't necessarily we don't see them. The number that they call isn't going to Michael, but even more so, if we miscommunicate with any of our guests, like I may have told Dr. Kathy Tynes to text me when she was here. I didn't say after you check in with security and come up to our floor.
Oh, right. So
she's in the, I believe she's in the lobby.
Checking in with security.
Yes.
Getting the body scan, getting the,
all that.
The metal.
I'm actually calling down asking them to extra.
The pat
down. Could you pat down?
Poor Kathy.
No cavity exam though. That's, that would be terrible.
No.
She's very cool. She's a
line.
Yes, I absolutely do. So, my apologies that we have to stall for a few minutes. Not stall. I'm supposed to go to the doctor again soon. I'm supposed to. You and I never talked about this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, in particular men, when I mentioned that there's a certain kind of surgery I've always wanted to have since I was 14 years old,
mm-hmm.
I've wanted to have a breast reduction surgery.
Okay.
I have been, when I was 12, I was about 105 pounds in a C cup. By the time I was 14, I was 110 pounds in a D cup.
Yeah.
And I was really, my mom, she'll tell you the story. Oh my God, you were crying. My boobs are too big. I got it. I wanted to have like a surgery done, but of course you're too young and mm-hmm. just figured I would just live with it. Because when you're an athlete and you can't, you know,
right.
you can't swing, it's harder to swim. But, you know, I've gotten through life to a certain point. But after kids, they're a lot. I weighed them.
Yeah.
I did. I won't get any specifics on how I did that. Both of them together are about 9 pounds.
Okay.
On my
Which
chest.
Which is a lot.
Right. And also what it turns out, so I'm having a lot of shoulder pain, and I have severe shoulder pain, yes.
I have a friend. She's a photographer. And she's had a bad back for years. She's had to take time off work. She doesn't work in this market anymore. But she's had to take time off work. It's just been debilitating for her, literally. She had that surgery. She said she's like a new person.
Really?
She has not had, I mean, within reason, of course, work. Right. You're getting older, you're going to have a little bit of back pain. That's fine. But nothing like before. She
really?
Said it was the best thing that she ever did. Yep.
And the thing is, it's a scary surgery. You know, when you get a breast implant, they just like have a little incision and they tuck it in there. For this, did she tell you what that involves?
She did. She
it's called an anchor scar.
Yes.
They cut down the middle and then they do another half circle cut. They flip it. Okay, I'm sorry, everybody. If you're having dinner, I apologize.
But think of the lifestyle change. I mean, think of how much better you'll feel. Because you have neck pain, you have back pain too?
Absolutely. I actually have I'll just be doing anything and get severe like numbness all the way through my fingertips, and my doctor said it's from the pressure that because I have to wear bras. Yeah. So it's a stress, it's cutting into that. I have like nerve damage going all the way down. So yes, I want to have it done. But it's also a daunting surgery, but she felt she was grateful to do the surgery.
Oh, very much so, yeah, because just years and years of pain she had.
Years. See, and I didn't have pain. For me, it was when I was a kid. It was more lifestyle, the way I looked.
More
and so,
got in the way, kind of?
Yeah, I thought, well, it's just cosmetic. And I also wanted to wait till after I had kids in case that disrupted the ability to breastfeed. So now that I'm past that, I figure maybe it's time to start thinking about it. My doctor, I went in to go see my doctor, and I love my doc. And he goes, hey, he goes, last time you were here, didn't we talk about a breast reduction? And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny that he brought it up. But Kelly, you've had the surgery?
I did. It was the best decision I've ever made.
See?
How long ago did you have it done?
Probably maybe 12 years now, 15.
Okay, so it was a while. Am I wrong, though? I've heard the recovery takes quite a bit, too.
It was not terrible at all. It was uncomfortable for a few days, but really after that it really wasn't painful at all. Once they took the drains out and the swelling went down, you know, and you took the pressure bandage off, it was fine. I really didn't find any discomfort, you know, any pain particularly, just more discomfort.
And you had the back pain too, right? The back, neck.
My whole life, and I'm very petite, very tiny. I weigh 100 pounds if I'm soaking wet. And my chest, when I went into my doctor, I was a double E.
Okay.
So when I went into my doctor, I thought I was going to have to convince him to let me go see the plastic surgeon. But I literally said, you know, doc, I've had neck pain. I've done, you know, I'm in shape. I just don't feel comfortable. He goes, no, yeah, you have to go. He wrote the referral, and I didn't have to convince him at all. He knew.
I did have a surgeon. After I had, I think it was after Declan, before my husband lost his job. So it must have been around 2007.
Okay.
And I went into a plastic surgeon, and they had to take photos of me in order to send it to the insurance company to decide whether or not I qualify. I'm a G cup. So
I had to take pictures and make sure you qualified.
Yeah, that I would be covered by insurance.
I would think
that was so
humiliating. I did have to do that.
Yeah,
they did have to do that for me also. But that's just, you know, the insurance company wanting to make sure you qualify. So
I would think the pain factor would outweigh, no pun intended, outweigh.
Well, they,
you know,
well, they also need to know how much they're taking. Dr. Kathy Tynes, you knew that we were talking about breast reduction surgery?
I heard. Oh, yeah. I'm so passionate about this topic. Absolutely. So I have yet to have a patient come back after having one done and regret it. None. Zero. And I recommend it to all my generously endowed ladies, and they feel wonderful afterwards.
Pause, let me just rest these right here.
No, you really do. You lean them on the table. That's how you eat dinner. I mean, people just come to expect that.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable to have all that extra tissue you don't need. And afterwards, the patients are better able to exercise.
Okay,
my goodness.
Do you also find patients then who have, some women have to be called back for mammograms because the breast tissue is so dense. If you have the reduction, does that make the tissue less dense, therefore
I haven't seen that to be the case one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I don't think it really affects your mammograms at all.
It doesn't improve. It doesn't improve the ability for the technician to read them.
It'll fit on one plate. You know? They're digital now, but it used to be they'd have to pull out two plates for the bigger ladies because couldn't fit it all on one X-ray plate.
Now, Kelly, one of our listeners texted in from the 773. They remove your areolas. Is that
yes?
But they replace them.
And some people experience less sensation. I didn't find that to be true in my case, and I was thrilled with the size of them after the surgery.
All right, there you go.
I'm gonna start looking into more seriously having all the
and
steps.
The scarring is it's incidental. Really, it's what you gain. And what you lose is, it doesn't compare. So there's some scarring. You wear the scar pads, and it's really minimal.
All right. Yep. Thank you for letting us know that, Kelly. We appreciate that.
No problem. Have a great day.
You as well.
Thanks, Kelly.
We are hanging out in studio with Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is now the president of the Illinois Medical Society.
All right.
And she's also a physician at Northwestern Medical. She's associate professor.
Associate professor of medicine.
I got it all in my mind now, your titles. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. So we'll continue our conversation. We're going to take a break here and then the news and more with Dr. Kathy Tynes. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlos on 720 WGN.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
I feel great.
I'm a doctor, not a performer. I don't have time for such nonsense.
Well, we appreciate that Dr. Kathy Tynes has time for our nonsense. She is the president of the Illinois State Medical Society. She is also associate professor at Northwestern and a physician at Northwestern Medical. And we've set off a conversation about breast reduction. Michelle wanted to join our conversation. By the way, you're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlos. Michelle, what did you want to say?
I'm so passionate about doing the breast reduction. I had it done when I was 21. And I was so big in high school, and I was a diver, and jumping up and down on a diving board was not fun.
No.
But I did it when I was 21, and I lost 5 pounds, 3 pounds in one and 2 pounds in the other. I was extremely lopsided.
Oh,
wow.
And it was, it was insane, and it's the best thing I ever did. I do have permanent dents in my shoulders from how heavy my bras were. That won't ever go away, but I was having back trouble as well, and it just made so much sense. And as far as the insurance is concerned, my family's insurance company would not cover it, even though it was recommended by plastic surgeon.
Why would that be?
I have not experienced that with my patients.
Well, she was 21 at the time.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry, Michelle.
I mean, unless that was last week. I'm sorry.
Right.
No, I'm 49.
Okay, so
I'm 49. That was quite some time ago, and they denied it. And so my mother had to take out a secondary insurance policy. And we had to keep it for 6 months and then try again. And that one went through.
Good.
So I did it on spring break my junior year.
Did people notice when you came back? I have to ask.
Yeah.
Oh, I told everyone before. Okay. No, I was not shy about it.
Good.
So the recovery, I was not even in the hospital 24 hours.
Okay.
It was an overnight thing. I would say the week of spring break, I was, home, obviously. But after that, it really was not bad.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, thank you, Michelle.
That is great.
I didn't mean to put this out there for selfish reasons, but this is working. But here's the thing, Michelle, not only for me, but I know there are other women who have been hesitant and are worried about it. Have you had kids?
No.
No, I wasn't, because that was one of the things I was worried about, too. I wasn't sure how it would affect breastfeeding.
Supposedly, it does not affect it. I do know other people who have had it before having kids, and it did not affect it.
Oh, good. I'm glad that
it shouldn't.
As far as removing the nipple and sensation, they don't disconnect it. they cut around it,
right,
so that the nerves are not cut, and so sensation is equal to what it was before.
Michelle, I so appreciate you sharing that with me and letting me know what your experience was.
You're brave.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
I say anyone who's interested, go for it. It is the best thing.
Those are exactly the kind of texts
getting. The text line's, blowing up.
That's
interesting. With those comments,
Oh, thank you, Michelle. Have a great night.
Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
I'm so happy for her. And I'm so happy that things are so different now.
Yeah.
Because I think up until, 10 plus years ago or so, companies didn't even pay for mammograms. I mean, that's crazy. It's women's health.
That's insane. Yes. No, absolutely. I've yet to have anyone turn down.
Yeah.
Okay. I think insurers are realizing that this is necessary.
Oh, yeah.
It's a health issue. Well, I've had to have physical therapy with my shoulder and my hand, mm-hmm. which was exacerbated by the breast weight. From the 708, I had a breast reduction on one side to even out the two sides after a lumpectomy and a radiation left one side significantly smaller. The pain is so minimal, I didn't even take over-the-counter Tylenol. Go for it.
There you go.
Well, it's good to know for folks who have that kind of that health issue as well after dealing with lumpectomy and radiation. Mm-hmm. That's good to know too. We are talking to Dr. Kathy Tynes, and I had mentioned before you came in that there's this huge body of standing water at Montrose Beach, and I was concerned about the fecal matter from the seagulls and maybe babies in the, because there are a lot of people that are playing in the water and you have to walk through it in order to get to the beach. But you mentioned something else that is also a concern with water. There's no way to move it out unless they drain it, I think.
Right. So standing water in and of itself, you know, great breeding ground for bacteria. And you hit the nail on the head. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, refuse on the sidewalks that gets into that water. But the other big health concern is that it's a breeding ground for mosquitoes. And we're concerned, you know, we have increasing concern about all these mosquito and tick-borne illnesses. So if you have standing water anywhere near your home, like let's say you have a play pool for your kid, you should empty it between uses because you're putting yourself and your family at risk for West Nile. We've seen West Nile has been identified in some of the bird populations now. So why risk it? There's no point in risking it.
Yeah. I'm going to call the park district tomorrow and let them know that they probably should take care of that. It's really dangerous. You were looking up the food illness.
Yeah, we did a couple of stories this week, Dr. Kathy, on there's a bunch of different outbreaks right now that might make you sick. And I know it's summertime and we have to watch, you know, the picnic foods, you know, or foods that have been sitting out for a long time, the eggs and the potato salad. So they came up with a list. Channel 9 put this on their website, and this is from the U.S. Health Department. Pasta salad, raw turkey, cut melon, Kellogg's Honey Smack cereal, Swiss rolls, Ritz cracker sandwiches, vegetable trays, and the story that we did most was because of the cyclospora, I think it was called, McDonald's salads. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just a blanket broad question. How can we be careful of what we eat, especially
that's a tough one.
Hot summer days?
Absolutely. So, you know, you can't really tell by looking at the food that it's contaminated. And the thing with, for instance, the McDonald's salads, the cyclospora, you can't even wash it off the food.
Really?
Oh, so even if
even if you bring something home and it's contaminated with that protozoan in particular, because it's a tiny microscopic creature, and it's going to get buried in there and you can't possibly wash it off. So once we that's what surveillance is all about, that's what public health is all about, is making sure that these cases get reported and they find the source and then they eliminate it. So the only thing they can do is just take them off the shelves. You can't wash it off.
How do people report? I mean, you know, I remember getting sick one time years ago after eating at a restaurant, and I thought later, should I have called and said, hey, I got really sick after eating at your restaurant?
So you can. So that type of foodborne illness is more of a toxin-borne illness. So usually it's something that's already in the food, and it releases a toxin, and it's usually short-lived. So you're throwing up and having diarrhea for less than 24 hours. These other types of illnesses are actual infections. Mm-hmm. So you're ingesting the bacteria, and the bacteria is growing inside your body. And that's harder to get rid of and requires treatment. Those are the kind that will be picked up, detected when we do stool specimens for culture and for looking for parasites. And that will get reported automatically.
I had salmonella years ago. I had to be in the hospital for about just over 24 hours, and it was awful. And then they found out when I was released that it was salmonella. And then somebody said, and again, I don't know if this is a wives' tale or if there's any truth to this, but they said once you get it, you are prone to getting food poisoning again. Is that false?
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, good.
I've not heard that.
Good. I mean, knock on wood, I haven't had anything.
Sure.
And that was 2007. So.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But maybe just don't go back to that same restaurant.
No.
I mean, so how do you know? I mean, so if you're vomiting and having, as you mentioned, if you're having diarrhea, that's kind of thing. If it goes away in 24 hours, or should you, if you get sick right away, should you call your doctor
no,
and go look? This,
no, please. please don't come.
So, I got a sample for you, doc.
Yeah, right. I know. I believe me. People bring in interesting stuff. No. So, you know, if you see blood in the stool, come in. If you have a fever, come in.
Okay.
If you have abdominal pain, not just like, ooh, cramps and poops,
like
but
severe pain.
By pain, that requires medical attention. If it's prolonged.
Right.
So, you know, 24, 48 hours is kind of the usual time course for your average either toxin-borne or a viral mm-hmm. type of gastroenteritis. Otherwise, if it's beyond that, then it needs to be investigated.
Okay. We have a listener who messages us from the 815. I'm in my 50s and believe I suffer from adult ADD, possibly anxiety. Should I contact a psychologist or my general practitioner?
Honestly, that type of diagnosis is best diagnosed by a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Most primary care doctors are probably pretty comfortable diagnosing anxiety and depression, but ADD requires a little more specialized testing.
Okay.
So I would look for a psychologist, and they can do both. They can look for both.
Excellent. We have, by the way, we were talking about women's health coverage. Does insurance, one listener says from the 847, will women's health coverage still remains an issue? One example, Medicare won't pay for bone density scans. Have you come across that?
Oh, that's not true.
It shouldn't. They
no, they should. If you're over 65, they don't cover them every year,
uh-huh.
and nor are they necessary every year because your bone density does not change that quickly. But it should. It absolutely should cover. You know. Every 2 to 3 years.
Should women take a calcium pill every single day, or is that covered like in your multivitamin?
So that's a little bit complicated. So your best source of calcium is from food. It's the most bioavailable. There is at least one study that showed that women who took calcium supplements possibly had an increased incidence of coronary disease. So there's some concern about at least taking like high dose calcium in pills.
Okay.
So try to get as much as you can through your diet. You know, having said that, of course, you know, if you have a family history of osteoporosis or you're at high risk for osteoporosis or you know you're not getting it in your diet, then take the calcium pills because
okay.
it's not, you know, clear cut that it's harmful. But there's some suggestion, you know, obviously anything that you get in your food is going to be healthier for you. It's going to be, you know, more readily absorbed and better for you. And make sure you're getting your vitamin D because your vitamin D is necessary for the absorption of the calcium. So if you're low in vitamin D, you can take all the calcium you want, you're probably not going to absorb it.
Now, are there supplements that you do think are beneficial?
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D is
a
supplement.
That's the only one I recommend on a regular basis. 70% of the population is vitamin D deficient.
Oh, well, there you go.
And in Chicago, it's probably more like 90.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, no kidding. So that's one of the reasons why when my son said he wanted to go to the beach, I was like, absolutely, let's go.
Yep.
By the way, Andre, for food, and I'm sure my husband is listening, he'll be so happy to know that one of the most calcium-rich foods is sardines.
Oh.
Which I love.
Sardines, spinach.
You're like
peas.
Other things.
I like peas.
Yeah. They're
also in collard greens is very high.
Yeah.
Broccoli. There's a lot of other ways.
Salad,
people always think
kale.
Of milk. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
A lot of good ricottas and things like that too. I've been taking garlic supplements. Is
Yum.
That? Is that?
Good. Yeah. I was wondering what that was.
I'm trying to, right? I know I'm oozing it. I'm trying to control my cholesterol, and I've gotten a book called 10 Steps Down. So it's all about doing it in the most natural ways, but mostly using like beans and mm-hmm. oatmeal, tofu, you know, a lot of soy products and things like that. But one of them is to use garlic both naturally and to take supplements. So I've been
go for
doing
it.
A lot of that. My husband loves this time.
I love garlic.
Hey, baby.
Everything I cook has garlic in it.
Oh, I love garlic.
Oh, Andrea's a little bit grossed out because I was talking about one night I just roasted an entire bulb and was just pulling them out of their sleeve.
So good.
It's so
oh
good, but God. I've done that and then I'll put it on like some toasted bread or like some toasted French bread. But Prandy said, no, I take the clove out and just eat it.
Yeah, just pop it in my mouth. Yes.
You know, and it makes the house smell so good. Like people come in your house, you're like, wow, what are you cooking? You're like, just garlic.
And
just
vampires.
Garlic.
Right.
Let's take a break here. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or comments, we're hanging out with Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is the president of the Illinois State Medical Society, associate professor at Northwestern, and a doctor there as well. And a listener asked for milk for calcium and vitamin D, do you think?
Absolutely.
All right, there you go.
Can't go wrong.
Ask and answer just like that. See? 312-981-7200. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Dose when we come back on 720 WGN. Wellness Wednesday with Dr. Kathy Tynes on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, one of our listeners that wanted to join our conversation. Diane joins us. Hey, Diane, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you very much.
Of course.
So this is my question for the doctor, please.
Yes.
One of my friends of Swedish descent in her 50s had broken her leg. She was complaining to the doctor that she takes her calcium supplements and all of that, and she didn't think she should have a broken bone. The doctor told her that bones get spongy, do not retain the same degree of hardness if you don't have enough magnesium and phosphorus like we get if we take a bone meal supplement rather than a pure calcium supplement. That's my question for the doctor. Have you heard of such a thing? And if so, please comment on it. Thank you.
Of course. I've heard that before, too. I don't remember where.
Well, you know, we always talk about calcium being kind of the most important, but certainly those other trace minerals are also important. I think there's less of a concern about getting enough of it in our foods. Mm-hmm. However, if you're prone to osteoporosis, whether it's based on your family history or your, you know, being a Scandinavian descent, being a blonde, being thin, also raises your risk. If you're a smoker, that also raises your risk. So those are all indications to, first of all, maybe get your bone density tested earlier rather than at 65. And making sure that you're getting all of the trace elements. So I would say a multivitamin would be helpful, and making sure that you're getting probably some extra vitamin D as well.
Okay, thank you so much.
Lovely to hear from you, Diane. Have a great weekend. Is it time for the weekend yet? It's only Wednesday.
I know, it seems like you're right.
Have a lovely evening.
Hey, you just mentioned smoking. I just have a question for you. I have a friend who quit between 10 and 15 years ago, just quit cold turkey, has not touched a cigarette since then, is in very good health, exercises, good shape. Will years of smoking, I guess maybe 10, 15 years of smoking and then having given up, I know it's a good thing that she gave it up, but will that have a detrimental effect on future health?
So, we talk about cardiovascular health, and once you've quit smoking and you've been quit for a number of years, and I'm trying to check the recesses of my brain, I believe it's 10 years, your risk goes back to normal.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Really?
So,
that's good.
Yeah. Whatever damage has been done to your lungs is not going to reverse. So, you know, there's that. And then, you know, in terms of your bone health, I'm not really sure that we know, you know, how long the effects last on your bone. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're smoking during your prime bone forming years, that's up until you're about age 30, you're probably not forming healthy bone as well as you would otherwise if you had been smoking during that time. So your bones are probably going to be weaker throughout the rest of your life just because you hadn't really had a chance to get full bone growth during that time.
But it's good to have quit.
No matter what, it's always good. It's the best thing I can do for my patients is to get them to quit smoking.
I don't even want to ask about kids that grew up in a house filled with smoke.
Oh, I know.
I'm fine. I'm sure I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
Oh, that would be your house.
My dad smoked up to about 3 packs of non-filter Camels a day.
Oh, wow.
And my mom, it wasn't until I left for college, my mom, no more smoking in the house.
In the house?
But I wasn't, it wasn't until I left for college. I didn't know the world smelled the way it did until I left my house. When I went to college, I had no idea. I'm like, oh, good and bad, by the way.
Yes.
Some of y'all, I had no idea about your bathing habits. Anyway, from the 708, my 15-year-old daughter has unilateral amasia. Amastia? A-M-A-S-T-I-A?
Like maybe macromastia? Is it where one breast is larger than the other?
That might be. Because her doctor says that she can get breast implants at 16. What are your thoughts? Also, have you ever seen insurance cover this? Thank you.
I haven't encountered it. I'm not a pediatrician, but I would say yes, and I would imagine yes. So I think for a woman's self-esteem, it's so important that they feel comfortable with how they look. Mm-hmm. However, it depends on the individual, of course. So if she's comfortable with how she looks and she wants to defer it, then let her defer it. If it's bothering her and she's uncomfortable, then absolutely do it.
Right. And let me go back to, and by the way, if, especially if it makes her feel confident, if it's, yeah that's important to it. And it's for, you know, that has a lot to do with your well-being. We were just mentioning the risks after quitting smoking after a certain amount of time. And you said that the risk, it's not that you won't get any of the sort of related diseases, whether it's cardiovascular or lung disease, is that they
go back to a non-smoker's risk.
You still have a risk.
Just cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. I don't think we really have a good handle on lung cancer.
That's the one someone's mentioning. Yeah. And I've heard that lung cancer, that's something that's always a risk.
That's always going to be a risk. Right. Your risk is going to be elevated for that. And probably osteoporosis. The cardiovascular risk does return back to baseline risk. So, right. You know, if you're a man and you're over 50, your risk is still high.
Right.
So.
Right. That makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
So we have an appointment for Griffin to have his back to school physical. What are some of the things? I mean, Griffin's coming now to the point where, you know, he's 14. He'll be 15 very soon. As our kids are going through, what are doctors looking for as far as growth and how they're doing, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It's such an important checkup for a kid. And it's usually the only chance that the doctor gets once a year,
right,
to check in with your kid. So they're going to make sure that they're growing appropriately. They're going to make sure that, you know, they're meeting all their milestones, that they're doing well in school. They're going to ask about, you know, social functions. They're going to ask about sex. They're going to ask about cigarettes. They're going to ask about alcohol once you leave the room.
I was going to say, yeah. That's the thing I want to know the most. Is
do you stay in the room?
Right. Well, one of the is whether the parent stays in the room and how honest the child will be, right?
Right.
So the parent needs to leave to let the doctor have
Once the kid reaches adolescence, the parent should be asked to step out.
I agree, okay. Yeah.
And that way, you know, the doctor can have a frank conversation about those things. Mm-hmm. So.
And what about parents who, like, let's say my mom would have wanted to approach my doctor about something physically. Maybe it was my breasts when I was a kid, but didn't want to do it in front of me.
Sure.
Should they call the doctor ahead of time?
You can do it that way. I mean, you know, now we have these patient portals. You can send an email. Mm-hmm. Or you can just ask the doctor to, you know, step outside the room for a minute and talk. So,
And for girls too, when should be, I know it's gotten younger and younger and younger, when should the first visit to the gynecologist be?
So believe it or not, it's actually gotten older.
Oh, it has.
Yeah. So you don't need to do a pap smear until you're 21 years old.
Ah, okay.
See, I feel cheated on that one. I was 16.
That's traumatic.
And the nurse held my hand like that was going to help.
I know.
Felt like it was awful.
Oh, wait. Oh, I have a joke.
Yes.
Uh-oh. On that note. Oh, good.
I was seeing a patient today, and she was complaining about having to get her pap smear, and we were talking about getting older and how it sucks. And as I'm doing the pap smear, I said, well, listen. At least there's one thing that's better as you get older. Once you hit 65, you don't need to get pap smears anymore. So there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Uh-huh.
No pun intended. She was laughing so hard I could hardly do the pap smear. It was so funny.
It's always good to have a good laugh when you're in the stirrups. Yeah. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And I want to thank Andrea for lining up our next guest, a friend of yours who knew that Gloria Allwood was coming into town, and you set this up for us.
Yeah,
thank you.
She's being honored along with Justice Ann Burke, and you and I were talking about it. We said we have to get her on. So
yes.
I'm glad she's available for us.
Yes, and there you are, Gloria Allwood. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very excited to be coming to Chicago and to be speaking at the Lesbian and Gay Bar Foundation event. It's a very important event in Chicago, and I know they're going to be honoring one of your Supreme Court justices, and I'm happy to be there to give a keynote and be supportive of them.
How much has the legal field really changed? I mean, there's so many things in the last year alone, but in particular for this event that you're coming for, what can you say to the community, to the lesbian gay community, about how things have changed legally?
Well, of course, a lot is changing, you know, with the Trump administration. We know that, and we're very concerned about the nomination by President Trump of his choice for the to fill a vacancy on the United States Supreme Court as a result of the retirement of Justice Kennedy. He is nominating Judge Kavanaugh, and well, I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow, but we are at the event. But of course, we're concerned because President Trump, even when he was a candidate, talked about wanting to overturn Roe v. Wade, which was the 1973 United States Supreme Court decision in which the Supreme Court decided that under the Constitution, a woman has a right to liberty, a right to have a legal abortion, and that states cannot criminalize abortion and essentially force her to have an illegal and unsafe abortion, which, by the way, I had to have prior to that Supreme Court decision, prior to 1973. So we're concerned about Judge Kavanaugh and that he may be someone who is ready to overturn that precedent. And we hope that he'll respect stare decisis, which is essentially let the decision stand that the U.S. Supreme Court made. But we're very unsettled by his choice. We're unsettled by, of course, President Trump as well. He's tried to reinstate a ban on transgender people in the military. He has done a great deal that we're concerned about, rescinding non-binding Obama guidelines to schools that trans individuals should be protected under federal civil rights law, that schools should respect trans students' rights, and there's just a lot to be concerned about these days.
Illinois.
So I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the fact that, for example, I don't want Roe v. Wade to be overturned, that I do oppose Judge Kavanaugh's nomination. I don't want anybody to have to go through what I went through, which is almost dying from an abortion, you know, that had to be performed by a back alley, butcher, so to speak, because doctors were not allowed to perform abortions or they could be going to prison, even though it wasn't illegal for a woman to have one. And I developed an infection, 106-degree fever, hemorrhaged, and had to be taken to the hospital. You could only go to the hospital not to have the abortion, but only if you were bleeding to death in those days. So there are many women who died or were maimed by illegal abortions before Roe v. Wade. I don't want that to happen again. I don't want states to have the right to criminalize abortion. You know, in many states today, women still can't get an abortion, even though it's legal,
right?
Because abortion clinics have been bombed. Doctors who performed abortions have been assassinated, murdered, like Dr. George Tiller was. May he rest in peace. Clinic workers have been threatened. Clinics have been vandalized. It's undue burdens have been placed on clinics. All kinds of things are going on now. It's going to be far worse for women, and their literal lives are at stake, and especially poor women and young women and rural women.
Right.
You know, they won't be able to get an abortion. A lot of them can't afford the bus fare.
Illinois.
Patty and Andrea, even to go to another state where it is legal to get an abortion. So they're either going to be forced to take a pregnancy to term, or they're going to have to face a back alley abortion and put their lives at risk. We don't want that to ever happen.
No, and Illinois, I'm sure you know, we have the trigger law. House Bill 40 is already in place. So if Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, it's up to Illinois law. Or unfortunately for many women who now would have to travel if that in fact happened. So I guess my question to you, Gloria, with everything that we're talking about and worried about with Roe v. Wade and gay rights and what you'd mentioned with transgendered rights as well, what can we as citizens who are worried about this be doing at this point? Because I think a lot of people feel very helpless and powerless right now that it's so out of our hands.
Well, I love the fact that you're looking for the action piece, because I'm always about action. And yes, we should be concerned. By the way, Trump, fired all the members of the Presidential Advisory Council on HIV/AIDS, which tells you where he stands on that. But what I want to say is the action piece is, first of all, everyone needs to write to their United States senator and also to United States senators in other states,
yes,
Republican and Democrat, and say, please do not vote to confirm Judge Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. And, you know, that's really important. There are some swing Democrats that we're concerned about, like Judge Republicans like United States Senator from Maine, Susan Collins. We're concerned about, others as well. But we're also concerned about Republicans and those who are not Republicans and Democrats. Just tell them, do not confirm Judge Kavanaugh. That's what's important. The Judiciary Committee will hold hearings. They may vote to confirm, but we want all senators to know when it goes to the full Senate, do not confirm.
A lot of people think
too
that
risky.
It is risky, but there are people who think, well, it's not going to happen because it would be a death knell for the Republican Party because so many people there are more people against abortion than support it. What do you say to those folks who are like, it's not going to happen, you're being hysterical, even though they've demonstrated for years that this has been the end game, was to stack the court with people who would want to overturn, or justices that would want to overturn Roe v. Wade?
Well, I would have to respectfully differ with you when you say there are more who want to who don't want abortion.
No, more people support
it.
More people support abortion.
Yeah, 75% support it, I saw in a recent poll. And generally, it's in the first few months of pregnancy. But, we want people to make their voices heard. And the way to make it heard is to make it heard to the people who count, and those are the people who will have the vote. And so, yes, we have a reason to be concerned, not only because Judge Kavanaugh and basically dissented in his decision about whether an undocumented teenager could get an abortion, and the court found that she could, but he dissented. In other words, he didn't think she should be able to. But not only because of that, but because obviously Trump had a list of anti-choice, I call them. What I call them is mandatory motherhood choices given to him by the Federalist Society. So if President Trump is nominating this judge, it's a sign that he wants Roe v. Wade overturned. So do that. Call, write, email, you matter, and what you say matters, and senators are very sensitive to what they get, the communications they get. Email, do whatever you need to make your voice heard. Say no, vote no on Judge Kavanaugh. And also, of course, everybody needs to vote in November because many people will be up for the United States House of Representatives, members of Congress. We need people who are going to be pro-choice voted in, and those who are anti-choice voted out. That's important to remember, that your vote counts, and you need to make your voice heard in November at the election.
Yeah, vote.
Well,
absolutely, register to vote too. I know you have. You're going to be talking as well on Illinois' vote recently to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. 40 years, Gloria, but at least it got done, right?
Well, you know, I am so happy that I'm coming to Illinois to be there and to thank everybody for voting for their support of ERA. It's not too late. Now we need one more state, and then we're going to have to fight the fight to overturn the deadline. But it's, you know, this is long overdue. You know, we have been working to win passage of the Equal Rights Amendment, to add it to the United States Constitution, since 1923,
wow,
when Alice Paul voted for it. So essentially, it's about 95 years we have been waiting. And the only place that women are in the United States Constitution is suffrage. That is the right to vote for women, which is the 19th Amendment. So we need the guarantee of equal rights for women in the United States Constitution. That's what the ERA will do. And we don't have it yet. It's 2018. We don't have it. We have to fight to win it. Nobody ever gives us our rights. Nobody gave us the right to vote. We had to fight to win the right to vote from 1848 to 1920. And now we have to fight for the passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. Why? Because when we get, for example, a president and a Congress who apparently are anti-women, who want to repeal rights for women, we can't take the risk of rights for women being repealed. We need to have the guarantee of equal protection for our daughters in the U.S. Constitution. That's what the Equal Rights Amendment will do. So hooray for Illinois. And now we need to all of us get one more state to ratify.
There you go.
I agree. And it has to be such an interesting time for you. And on all the cases, that all the people that you've worked with, the position we are in now where women are aware that they don't have to stand for it. I mean, there's still women who are going to, you know, say, well, guys will be guys, or there's nothing I can do about it. There's still a lot of women who can't speak up at work. Is that the experience that you're having, even though we're in the middle?
Yeah, well, yeah, they can't speak up, or they feel they can't, or they fear. Fear is the weapon that keeps women down.
Yes.
And denied their rights. And not to say, I mean, sometimes there is real cause for fear, but, you know, if a woman is being sexually harassed on the job or denied equal employment opportunity, she definitely should consult a private attorney and see what her rights are and whether something she can do about it. And because, you know, if an employer retaliates against a person who alleges that she is sexually harassed on the job, then you can sue the employer for that, for the retaliation. And that is possible as well. By the way, I hope everyone will watch the documentary on Netflix about my battle for equal rights and for victims. It's called Seeing All Red, and it's streaming on Netflix right now. And the reason I say that is because you'll see many of the victims that I have worked with who have evolved from being victims who were living in fear to then evolving to become survivors, to becoming then fighters for change. And many of these are rape survivors, sexual assault survivors. Some of them are child sexual abuse survivors. And to see the transformation is a beautiful thing as women throw off that fear and then fight for their rights. So I hope that it will help to inspire people and empower people and know that they can stand up, and that the rewards of standing up often outweigh the fear and the risk of standing up for your rights.
Absolutely. And Patty, and I respect the work that you do so much. You, Patty, have had different stories. I've had different stories in the workplace. People, you know, we knew and thought we trusted and whatnot. So I really can't emphasize enough how important it is to follow your advice and come forward and say something, and don't be scared and don't fear retaliation. Because I still see women who are very scared of that, and rightly so in many ways.
Well, rightly so, but also let me just share with you that a lot of women don't know that lawyers like me, and there are others as well, but we do a lot of confidential settlements. So, for example, I'm sitting here right now in New York, and the reason I'm here is because I just came here to do a confidential settlement today in an employment case. So no one will ever know about this except for my client and the other party, and her lawyer, you know, the other party's lawyers, the employer's lawyers, and us. It's a confidential settlement, and my client's next employer will not know that she essentially had alleged sexual harassment by her previous employer, because we've also negotiated what this employer can say to any future employer who may ask. So there are ways to get compensation. My belief is this, that the cost of the wrong should not be borne by the victim. It should be borne by the wrongdoer. He should be accountable. And, you know, women are now being empowered by many of these confidential settlements, and they can now go on with their lives and know that the person who did the wrong to them had to pay, and that they can use some of what we have been able to obtain for them for the therapist bills, for their medical bills, you know, for their loss of wages if they had to leave the job. And they know that they stood up for themselves and they were rewarded for it. So people need to know they don't necessarily have to file lawsuits. There are many confidential settlements going on all around the country right now.
Right.
It's amazing work. And again, if you're wondering about the Netflix series, the Netflix documentary, it is All Red, Seeing All Red on Netflix. I was looking it up just now and going through one of the reviews of it. And really, it's astonishing.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen any documentary with 100%,
yes.
Gloria.
I was amazed and very thankful that 100% Fresh Tomatoes on Rotten Tomatoes.
Exactly.
I was so excited and, you know, I'm really thrilled.
I have to ask, on another provider of entertainment, have you by any chance watched Handmaid's Tale?
I love Handmaid's Tale. Are you kidding?
It is so...
Oh, my God.
It's
I just
so good.
Absolutely love Handmaid's Tale. But you know what? it's so important that, you know, women and men see these films. I had, for example, I've had people from all over the world who've now seen the my particular documentary on Netflix. And what I'm happy about mostly is not even the fact that we've gotten favorable reviews, although we really appreciate them, but that I've heard from women around the world who said, like, I'm so depressed, I want to kill myself, I can't take this anymore, what's happening in my life? And then they write me, they've seen the film, and they write me, okay, now I'm really fired up, okay? I'm not going to be depressed anymore. I'm fired up. I'm ready to take action. I want to do it. I'm moving on. I'm not going to take this anymore. Literally, one woman wrote me, she said she bought the gas. She was going to kill herself. She'd been a victim of child sexual abuse, and she said, I thought, I'm not going to kill myself. I am going to the police. I'm going to report those who sexually abused me when I was a child. I'm going to take action, and thank you. So that's what I mean about people understanding that they can be transformed and they can become empowered. And when they are like that, they will never be unempowered again. They will always be much stronger. And then they become role models, you know, for their own children, for their families, for others in their workplace and in their community. It's what the leaders of the Women's March said this year. You are the leaders you have been waiting for.
Well, I want to thank you for all the leading that you have done. Again, we've been talking to Gloria Allred, who's coming into town. She's being honored by the Lesbian and Gay Bar Association of Chicago. And I want to thank you for all the hard work and being an advocate for equality mm-hmm. and for justice. It means a lot to a lot of people, Gloria.
Yeah, thank you, Gloria.
Thank you so much, Patty. Thank you, Andrea. And go Illinois, and thank you for the Equal Rights Amendment.
You bet,
right.
Gloria.
Okay. All
I-L-L.
Right.
I. Thanks, Gloria.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
See you tomorrow. More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Dallas on 720 WGN. I guess this is more.
That is more. She was great.
What a weird way to say that we recorded that.
Yeah. but just about an hour
o'clock.
Ago.
Yeah.
So yeah,
yeah,
it was okay.
That's why we were racing down here. And thank you for your texts.
Yeah, she was awesome.
So thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. It was a short show. I feel like we should, let's just sit here and talk even during the Sox
game. I know, right? Yeah, during the Sox game, I know. But yeah, it was a very cool interview. She'll be in town tomorrow night. And we've had a great week of shows, I think.
We have. And tomorrow we have a full show, 7 to 11. We actually have some great prizes to give away. Tomorrow we'll have a pair of tickets to see Heartbreak Hotel, now playing at the Broadway Playhouse. We'll also have a pair of 4 lawn tickets to Ravinia for Thursday, August 2nd, to see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra performing the score live. So that's going to be tomorrow. So you got to be listening. We'll also have Julie Paradise on to talk about workplace strategies. And she's going to use an analogy of the soccer team that was trapped in the cave, how resilience and teamwork and patience can really serve you in the workplace. We'll also have our friend Cortland Hickey from Chicago Costume. It's Theater Thursday with our friends from the Factory Theater in the performance of The Adventures of Spirit Force 5. And Vice journalist Manisha Kirshnan will join us as well.
Jam-packed.
It's a lot going on. So we do have, I have like 10 seconds. So Andy Mazur will be taking over.
There he is.
With the pregame for the White Sox. And Andrea and I are going to take off and have a lovely evening,
you
everybody.
You too, Patty.
So much fun hanging out with you.